only the leader wants to understand what he's saying. Okay? Let me tell you how Garner Ted works. For example, all of them do it like this. Garner Ted will come on, and he'll start off telling you, oh, apple pie is good, and everybody, yep. Mama's good, yep. The American flag, yep. You know, communism is no good, right. You know, and he'll pick popular subjects that everybody in the room is going to agree on. And he'll really, and he's a golden tongue. Oh, boy, he's smooth. He is smooth. He is an angel of light, the devil. And man, see, and for 80, he usually talks, in an open forum about like me, 90 minutes. And, boy, for 85 minutes, everything he says, you can't disagree with, man, if you disagree, I mean, you're just godless. Well, I mean, he's just, for 85 minutes, you've been sitting there like this. Then the last 5 minutes, he slips it to you, his doctrine. And for 85 minutes, you've been going like this. Guess what you keep on doing for the next 5 minutes? You just keep going. And when it's over, I've asked people after those meetings, I've talked to them. I said, and they'll say, wasn't he great? Wasn't it super? And I'll say, what did he say? I don't know, but it was great. See, right, doctrinal ambiguity. Now, the finale is this. Okay? Incidentally, let me tell you what Garner Ted's position is on Jesus, just so you got it. Jesus Christ is the first man that ever self-perfected himself, and therefore he became God because he self-perfected. And you can become God the same way. Hey, that's not the Jesus of the Bible. He was eternally God, is eternally God, and God became a man. See, they're not talking about the same thing. In fact, if you really want to know, in a nutshell, the whole book of Galatians was written to Garner Ted. He is pure legalism and bondage and everything. In the whole letter, he is nothing but Galatian heresy after another. I'm going to finish on the last point. Now, the last point, now some of you in here right now are sitting here nervous, and you're saying, Brother Floyd, I almost feel like my denomination has hit all 10 that you mentioned. I don't understand what they're saying. There's doctrinal ambiguity. I can't tell whether they're reading in Latin or they're reading in this or they're speaking in tongues. I don't know what they're saying. And they've got a pyramid, and they've got a leader, and I can't question him. No matter what I say, the leader wins. On and on. You say, Floyd, is there anything that can save my denomination that really makes it Christian? You got one last chance. Hallelujah. All cults, you've guessed it, have a defective teaching of Christ, a defective Christology. Now, we read it in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. What's the basis for our Christian fellowship? The person of Jesus Christ. Who is he? He's Lord. He is Jehovah God of the Old Testament, come in the flesh to pay for man's sins. And he was raised from the dead, which proves he was who he said he was. God come in the flesh. Okay? Now, any other teaching then that is a defective Christology. Jesus is God. The God. There aren't many gods. There are not three gods. There's one God who makes himself known in three persons, three manifestations. There are not three gods making one God. There's one God who has the power to divide himself into any number that he might want to. And he exists in three different manifestations. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, the Shepherd group down in Florida, they teach Christology correct, but they don't practice it correctly. It is a heresy. I don't know for sure that they've become a cult yet, but they're close to it. They're right up to the edge of it. Only thing that, as far as I'm concerned, that keeps them from being a cult, because they have placed themselves and their leaders where you can't do anything till your shepherd says it's okay, they have put someone between them and you and God. That is cultish. But so far, their teaching on Christ is correct. Their implementation of it is wrong, and I predict that they're going to do one or two things. They're going to repent and come back, and that's what I'm praying for, because I love those brothers. Or they're going to keep going and become a cult. Now, I'm not against them. I'm against the teaching. I hope all of you tonight have come up in the Lord enough to point that you can separate a man from his teaching. I absolutely hate what they're teaching. I despise it. But I love the men. And I dare say they probably despise some of the things that I'm teaching. In cults, they teach God is impersonal. Therefore, they deny the love of God. God says He loves. Number two, they say that Christ is not deity. Number three, they all teach salvation by works, and usually they have reincarnation tied in. Number four, they deny the atonement of Jesus. In other words, they say no man can die for another man's sins. Therefore, they deny the grace of God. Number five, they deny sin as a real devastating thing. I'm always tickled. I've got a friend that rides to work every day with a Christian Scientist. They don't believe in sin. There's no such thing as evil. And every day they drive to work together, and when they get out of the car, this guy locks his car. And number six, most cult groups deny a literal hell. Now, parting shot for tonight. I fear that the prosperity teachings may eventually lead into a cultic teaching also. What you say is what you get. Don't get hung by the tongue type stuff. And God, I won't. God, I want a car. I want a big car. I want a Cadillac. No, five of them. No, I want a custom-made Bentley. God, I want a mink. I want. Now, that isn't faith. That's lust and greed. And God is not our bellhop. I think that God wants us to get out of diapers and grow up. It is true God would love to give us everything. And He's going to when we're mature enough to handle it. Did you know that if God let most of us in here get rich tonight, it would wipe us out? Most of us in here right now are not close enough to God that it wouldn't we wouldn't drift away from the Lord. And I think a lot of us, you know, we're looking in ourselves and we're saying, boy, that's true. That is true. I wish that weren't true. Yes, it's true that God would like for you to always be well and never be sick. But did you know that most of us, we drift away from God until God takes us to the divine woodshed and lets Satan put one on us so that we'll look up. You know, flat of your back, brother, Captain, you tend to look up. And God knows our tendency to forget about Him when everything's going smooth. And because He loves us, He'll let us get sick. Because He loves me and because He loves you, you're not rich. Didn't you ever read the Bible says how difficult it is for a rich man? Do you think God's teasing you and me about that? Well, let me say that He is not. He is not.